Okay, and here we go. Hour number three. It's our Monday night Fukushima update. And what I wanted to go through, first of all, is not pleasant. And it happens. It's part of the real world we're in right now. It's a real world of mega corporate power, of death, of violence, of threats, of coercion, of blackmail, of crime, off the charts. Many good people who do good work have been killed. Many others who do good work trying to present the truth have been threatened. And that has apparently happened to one of our colleagues here. No, I can't prove it. No one can prove it because no one's talking. Michael Collins, who has been here on this program for over 2 years, every Monday night, reporting on exactly what we are facing vis-a-vis Fukushima, has been apparently, from the best I can gather, threatened. And I'll tell you exactly why. But first of all, let's bring on Yoichi Shimatsu, who is also our regular every Monday. Yoichi, can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm back in Thailand. I've been traveling in Hong Kong, Malaysia, gave a seminar on Fukushima in Malaysia. It is outstanding how little people actually know about the sort of machinations, the deep state aspect of nuclear power. And as you suggested just now, the ability of that deep state to influence its potential friends, buy people out, and then threaten those who are against its interests. And certainly people are stunned that I expose some of the aspects of the deep state nuclear industry. They're stunned by the extent of its power and its sort of nefarious activity, just the constant stream of just outlier lies anymore. They aren't even bother with half-truths anymore.
No.
There's sort of a nonstop propaganda that they're pushing out there.
Yep.
And as you suggested, we now live in a world where, these online trolls are becoming like a fact of life. They're far outnumbering real people when it comes to important issues that the establishment is trying to defend. The deep state is
right,
trying to defend,
right.
Nuclear being one of them.
Yeah, well,
where
as you
have these online organizations like our Palantir, one of these software companies, that actually, develop fake people, so that one programmer at NSA or one of its clients, like Booz Allen, can generate hundreds of personalities, different sexes, religions, racial groups, countries of birth and all that. These fake people who write letters to editors, who will write comments on websites, will lobby Congress, will report you to law enforcement agencies, so on and so forth, on false charges. It's something like the Lord of the Rings, the orcs, these monstrous things that aren't born, aren't bred, but are manufactured. That's what is happening today. And people get scared when they see these armies of trolls wrapped up.
Right, right. Well, what happened here, and again, Michael will not answer emails. I've sent a number of them to him. He was on last week, as normal, and his website, EnviroReporter.com, has been doing a marvelous job. He and Denise Ann, his wife, just finished an extensive series on the San Onofre Nuclear Power Generating Station called SONGS, for short.
Yeah.
That's pretty much a dead news issue now. It's over. It's shut down. He did the final post-mortem on it.
Yeah.
It was done. And a couple of days ago, I received an email saying that I will no longer be able to do the program. This is after 2 years of creating a platform and building worldwide trust. I will no longer be able to do the program because I need time, 25 minutes a week, to do research on SONGS, the San Onofre Nuclear Power Generating Station, which was seems to me to be code because it had already been done. So why would he say he needs to do it again?
Right.
It makes no sense. And I was stunned, to put it mildly, because you do not build a worldwide platform of trust and importance right in the face of the beginning of the worst of Fukushima's radiation that is coming to the West Coast. Now, as all of you know, Michael Collins and EnviroReporter.com and Denise Ann and his colleagues have been reporting on this radiation issue from the beginning. And no one has played a more important role in trying to alert the public and tell the public about the dangers that are coming. And they're knocking at the door right now. We know about the mariner who crossed the Pacific 3,000 miles, saw two fish and one bird and one whale with a tumor on its head. That's it. The Pacific is dead. Michael's been reporting on that.
Report. That area of ocean is historically one of the most livest parts. It's the breeding ground for probably 60-70% of the species.
Correct.
Pacific, something like flying fish, by the thousands you would see them.
Exactly.
Dolphins out there. Everyone's feeding out there. Sharks, everyone, is having a feast out there. The sea should be alight with plankton, when you go through the evening. It should glow, at night as you go through it. Squid will be coming up, attracted just by a few lights that will be coming to the surface. These are glowing, phosphorescent sort of creatures. This is an area packed with life, and that reports that it's all dead, tumors and cancers. A few victims of mammals, which are big enough to survive, are dying of cancer. So, I really hope Michael Collins, his family, and associates are okay. I really do wish and hope that if they are doing investigations, maybe under deep cover, that I wish them well and wish them success. There's certainly a lot of things to go after still at the Edison Company, Southern California Edison, which
yeah.
has been high.
Let me finish, if I may, Yoshi. Very important.
You're saying is a cause of alarm because there should be something more than a few sentence.
Let me finish.
To you, the host. Yeah.
Hold on. Let me finish. First of all, to receive I would term it shockingly curt, if not downright rude.
Yeah.
And that's not Michael Collins.
It's curt.
Michael Collins is a gracious, wonderful, extraordinary human being. This was completely out of character for him. I wrote several emails back, didn't hear anything, and then I got one short response. So I was out in the yard doing yard work and blah, blah, blah. And that was it. And I've written a couple times since then, nothing. This is not Michael Collins. Now, with the radiation from Fukushima closing in on the Pacific coast from Baja to Victoria, Canada, Victoria, British Columbia, all the way up and down, we are about to be pummeled with it. This is Michael Collins' finest hour to stand up with his people and help protect and warn the public. Millions and millions, tens of millions of people need the information that he was going to provide. This undermines Michael Collins. It completely undermines and compromises EnviroReporter.com. He will not communicate with me or this program or his following. We had no falling out. Trust me. In fact, Let me play this just a little short clip from the end of last week's program with him, and you can hear for yourself that everything was A-OK, 100% fine.
Jeff, in the last week, a Japanese company came out with a new product, radioactive-proof underwear. Now, I actually think that should be sent to the... I'm serious. Radioactive underwear. Mm-hmm. You'll never have to worry about that again. Well, considering where the prime minister's head is,
right.
I think he ought to be sent a trunk full of them.
Good job. We had a request for... I don't know if you have one up on your site or not, but a simple explanation of microsieverts, millisieverts, and sieverts, and the... obviously dangerous levels of each. We talk about these things a lot, and somebody's got to write an article about it. Real simple, just a table, so people will understand. Microsieverts should read on your Inspector Plus, 0.00 something. 0.00 something. If you see 0.01, You got to be a little, pay attention. If you see 0.234, whatever, 0.2, you got a problem. If it's on the other side of the decimal, 1.6, whatever, microsieverts, then you got a bigger problem. Then it goes to milli, which I believe is 1,000 times greater than micro, and then up to sieverts. You're supposed to have 1 sievert a year exposure. No, not 1 sievert a year. See, I've got all these charts.
Quick.
Yeah, I've got all these charts here on the table, but I can't. It's hard to put them into words. Go ahead, see what you can do with it.
One is a way to, when you talk about sieverts, it's a dose-related measurement. Like, that's a dose. When you talk about counts per minute, you're just talking about the actual.
That's
event
the rate.
Itself.
That's the rate.
Right. Exactly.
A dose
rate versus dose.
Exactly.
But it's the same thing, and the numbers throw me off too. So
it's a dose. We'll try and do something more on this. We'll get a table made up for you so you can all understand. It's really very simple.
Now, listen carefully.
Beyond which you don't want to read. It makes you very uncomfortable.
That's
just,
right.
Counts per minute, CPM, normal background CPM, anywhere from 25 to 50 is safe in your area. Just depends where you are. But when you start getting readings of over 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, 700 in Amarillo?
Yep.
Then you've got to say, wait a minute, something's really wrong here. Big time. All right, Michael, thank you as always. Talk to you next week. Keep
you
up the great work.
You betcha. Denise Dan's waving her foxy hand at you and everybody.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, did that sound like a man who was going to drop an email, basically in 3 sentences saying, see ya, adios. Not a chance.
That was not a permanent sign off. That was like, see you soon, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. Okay, no question. Now,
yeah, exactly. So something very alarming or disturbing. Let's say disturbing.
I cannot
so who knows?
Prove it, and Michael is not going to communicate with me at least now and tell me. But if there was ever a case when someone would be a candidate for having been had his life and his wife's life threatened, there it is. I may be wrong, but that's exactly what it looks like.
That is the price of having kids and a wife, you know, when you're doing this sort of thing, going after the establishment. They know the buttons to hit. And believe me, they're not afraid to punch them. I mean, there are people out there who enjoy doing this sort of stuff. They enjoy the power of intimidation, and that's the sad thing about the establishment that tries to present itself as a civilized, global system of order, of law, you know, that we're all supposed to respect. Ruthless. This makes the average terrorist and gangster seem like,
people
who go to church. You know, it's really shocking how they can intimidate. Yes.
Right. Let's also mention that, again, I want to repeat this. We have been working together, Michael and you and I, for over 2 years now.
Yeah.
And he was literally the key reporter to gather the data to help all of us understand the impact of the radioactivity, all these nuclides coming over here by water, by air, that are going to slam the West Coast unmercifully. We needed Michael Collins, an Enviro reporter, now more than ever. The years to come are going to be deadly years for some people, horrific years for others. They're not going to be good years. They took him out of the equation. He would never walk away from the helm and leave the ship like he did, unless there was a damn good reason. And if you got a phone call and someone simply said to you, you keep it up and you and your wife are dead, you could do exactly what Michael Collins did to this program. I'm no victim. We all lose. Whatever happened to Michael Collins is so out of character that I can only characterize it as somebody threatened to kill him and his wife. Would you agree with that, Yochi?
Well, you know, it was the executive office of the president that of the United States of America that ordered all the radiation monitoring along the West Coast to be shut down. only that office would have that power. Well, one of the last monitors that was not working for the government, not funded by the government, has been shut down. So there's not much left, and this is why we've been urging since the beginning, to 311, everyone get dosimeters, everyone do their own measurements. And unfortunately, people have gotten very slack about this. You know, people don't want the extra stress. Don't want to make the bother. But, you know, as you said, and as Michael Collins predicted, this body of water that he was the first to point it out, I remember on your show, that the radioactive water is on the surface and it's slowly moving over. It's moving fast, slower than the current.
Correct.
By the seawater below it.
That's
across
right.
The Pacific.
And it's also not.
I expected it, remember, move much faster. I thought it would
right.
move faster with the sea because it's lighter than seawater. But in fact, he pointed out that it's moving slower based on his information. So he's proven correct. And as you said, it's hitting very soon. You know, way before this spring, this coming spring, it's going to hit. We don't know exactly when, but it's probably going to be sooner. Later.
Yeah, we got three to five months, 6 months. That's it.
Yeah. Saline water, it's less heavy.
That's right.
It'll evaporate more. And
exactly.
The energy in that water will allow it to form, you know, to allow particles to go up in the rain, you know, not to mention the tritium that's present that will be rainwater. In other words, this is a real threat in the West Coast, and it's just curious, as you point out. The timing of this, of a man who first pointed this out, who's tracked it accurately, versus our own conjectures or assumptions, okay?
Yep.
And now for him to go silent is like the worst possible time. I know there's still problems with, Southern California Edison. They're storing nuclear waste at their different, coal burning, oil burning plants and all that, burying as we found in San Clemente. Santa Catalina Island. But I don't think that is of the sort of deep cover nature that would force him to go.
No, he just did a five-part series on the whole thing. I mean, it's done. So it makes it... I just hope that somehow he will be able to come back and serve the tens of millions of people that look up to him and his organization, his group. This program is just a platform for him. But for this to happen now is a terrific loss to all of us. And I will always remember this and lament the day I got that email because there was nothing I could do. It was, that's it, I'm done, can't do it anymore, I need the time to do research. How much time? 25 minutes a week is all he spent on this program. So, I mean, it's laughable, the excuse. Laughable.
Well, I don't want to, I don't want to make any kind of false correlations, but in that very same time slot, the Assistant Secretary of Department of Energy, was over in Hanoi, Vietnam, signing agreement with the Vietnamese government that the U.S. would participate with Japan in building 7 nuclear reactors in central Vietnam. Why a small country like Vietnam needs 7 nuclear reactors is anyone's guess, but you don't build 7 unless you're planning in one spot for a small country like that, unless you're planning a nuclear weapons program. And the real question arises, you know, I'm all sympathy with the Vietnamese people and, you know, oppose the Vietnam War, but I don't know why the United States government would be funding with the Import-Export Bank and with money from the Department of Energy a nuclear bomb program in a country that whipped the crap out of America in the Vietnam War. Right? In which there is no peace treaty. Yeah. And there's like hundreds of thousands of American veterans, 55,000 Americans dead in that war. You know, I mean, you know, I have all my sympathy with the Vietnamese people, with the victims of that. But it does raise questions. It does raise questions. Okay, how far the U.S. government is supplying nuclear power and, you know, mock fuel reactor not to a company which it has not yet signed a peace treaty with, which is not an ally. And the only one in Southeast Asia. So, you know, this comes at the exact same time as the Michael Collins. So there may be some deeper reason. Maybe Michael Call knows more about the system than we ever know. I don't know. Did he come out of the system? I don't know. Did he come out of the Department of Energy or one of the labs? I don't know. But this is the time they would be bringing next
right.
to prevent the obvious question. Why mm-hmm. is the United States mm-hmm. willing mm-hmm. to finance the construction of nuclear power stations, which are nuclear bomb capable, in Vietnam?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, this is a hard question, you know, because I do sympathize with the people. I feel the United States went way over the, you know, the Kissingers and Nixon went way over the top. But it is a question that has to be asked, you know, and it does throw the whole balance of Asia off. Sure, you may want them to be nuclear armed against China, but what does this mean to the other countries of Southeast Asia? I was just in Malaysia. They're alarmed, you know. Vietnam's a Buddhist country. With some Christian elements, Catholic elements there. Malaysia's predominantly Muslim. Indonesia's predominantly Muslim. If things get tense, it's going to just be like India and Pakistan, that sort of thing, or Israel and Iran, you know? It's going to be a standoff in which, in a small area, nuclear war there would mean everyone dies. So, you know, this is, you know, these people are playing with fire, and they don't know how to control the fire, just as the Japanese Nuclear Regulatory Agency just said to the Tokyo Electric Power Company, don't even think about starting up reactors when you can't handle Fukushima 1. You know, so this is, again, maybe the point is from the current government, but they're smart enough to know that they just can't take any, they can't load on any more risk without, you know, some sort of total disaster leaving across the whole country. And so these people are playing with fire, and there is something fundamentally wrong with Department of Energy. You know, I criticize his new chief, nuclear physicist out of Oak Ridge and all that, mm-hmm. out of the University of Chicago.
Right.
You know, deeply right. committed nuclear power, nuclear bombs, the Manhattan Project. You know, this deep loyalty to this, you know, the most dangerous weapon in the world.
It is. Stand by, Yochi. We have to take a break. We'll come right back in just a minute, and I want to point you to a video at Rents.com. I'd like you to watch, all of you, as well, and we'll talk more about bringing you up to speed on what's happening as the Fukushima radiation intensifies and the big whammy gets ever closer and closer. Next. Okay, and we're back with Yochi Shimatsu. We need to talk this half hour about the removal of 1,300 spent fuel pool fuel rod assemblies and the absurd nature of even thinking about trying to do something like that. But first, I want to point all of you, please, to the top of headlines, and you'll see the green word watch in front of the title, Critically Important Fukushima Radiation Overview. Video. Watch the video. It's about 48 minutes long. It's not a 5-minute attention span thing. It's critical because it covers virtually everything, all the highlights, lowlights, that we have covered on this program. And it's done by a Canadian who has apparently, I believe, a Scots accent. It makes him unique to listen to. He was devastated to read and process and understand what is going on over there. And on the screen, while he's making his presentation, is a map of the Pacific showing Japan on the left and the United States and Canada on the right. And it shows the track of the radioactive plume as it comes across and then lays out and literally ends up covering the Pacific from Japan to the West Coast and back again. Covers it with radiation. All the radioactivity, the nuclides are all in there. Now, he says, you see this chart? He said, that chart was made early. And the projection on this chart was for a very short period of time. He said, that chart is 800 times short of what it should be. He said, multiply what you see on that chart by 800 times because we're in the 800th day plus now of this calamity. He said, and that's how bad the Pacific Ocean is. It's dead. 800 times worse than the chart you're going to see. That's based and predicated on the daily emission of underground aquifer water, of water poured on the spent fuel pools, and of water poured on the reactor cores, what's left of them, which is all flowing into the ocean. All of it. It could be 1,000 tons a day. It could be 2,000 tons a day. Nobody knows. Anything TEPCO says is a conservative lie. This man covers all the points I've covered, and Michael has covered, and Yochi has covered, and even Richard Wilcox has covered some of them in this 48-minute piece. So I want you to watch it, and I want you to understand that this man is not exaggerating. He is not overstating. He is telling it straight. And you have been warned by this program and now by this video. There are things you can do, but there's one thing you can't do, and that's run. There's nowhere to run. You go to the tip of South America, yeah, how many of you can do that? There are things you can do here to build your body and help with supplementation, your body fight off radioactivity. You're going to need to have precautions if you expect to dodge an endless stream. They're going to be monitoring the Pacific Ocean for 1,000 years minimum. This stuff is not going to go away, folks. Remember when they talked about dispersion is the solution? Total BS. Total crap. They find now, as Yochi will tell you, that the radioactive plume is not dispersing at all. It's doing something they didn't expect it to do. It's essentially adhering to one mass as it moves across the ocean, and it is just about to hit the West Coast, where it'll split, half will go north, up into the Gulf of Alaska, it'll go round and around like a toilet that's been flushed, but it's got nowhere to go, and it'll bioaccumulate in the fish. The rest of it will go down the West Coast and create all along the West Coast moisture containing radiation. It'll be in the water, it'll be in the sand, it's in the fish. No more can you eat anything from the Pacific Ocean. It's done. Yochi, anything to add to that? Then we'll talk about these asinine TEPCO plans to pull these fuel rods out of spent fuel pool from reactor building number 4. Go ahead, Yochi, if you're still there. I don't hear him. Okay. All right. Let's talk about... Keep trying to get him, Brett. The sound of the line indicates it's still open. Maybe he figures we're in a commercial break or something. I don't know, but keep trying to talk to him and get him. And then turn the volume up when you get him. I'll hear it. Okay. In reactor building 4, what's left of the building, and you know it's listing up to 31 inches in one location alone, and all the water that's pouring out of the spent fuel pool onto the ground, and all the water that's pouring onto the ground coming out of the reactor itself, what's left of it, and all the water that's being pushed back into the radioactive zone called Fukushima Daiichi from this wall that they built up in between the plant and the ocean. They've rebounded the water, this radioactive water, has turned the plant into basically mush. These buildings are going to fall apart and sink further and further in. The spent fuel pools, and I'm sure most of you know this, are about 100 meters above the ground in what has to be the most suicidally insane design of a nuclear power plant ever. We have 23 or 26 of the same plant here. I'm not sure how many. It's 23 or 26. The spent fuel pools are up in the air. The fuel assemblies, when they're finished their work in the reactor, are lifted up by a computer-controlled crane. It's not a crane that you'd see with a big boom sticking up in the air. It's a horizontal crane that slides back and forth on trolleys. It moves over the spent fuel pool, then moves off the spent fuel pool over the reactor, and clamps onto a fuel assembly and carefully lifts it straight up, moves it over, puts it down in the spent fuel pool. Well, that crane was trashed. It collapsed during the earthquake and damages suffered therein. The top of the spent fuel pool has trash and debris all over it. They've pulled out the biggest pieces, but there's still trash everywhere. And it is assumed, logically so, that the spent fuel assemblies are broken and bent. There is a big pile of broken fuel rods at the bottom of the spent fuel pool that is not going to be taken out by anybody. What are they going to do, send frogmen down there? Forget it. They're dead before they get 2 feet into the water. So when I come back, we'll explain why these fuel rods will not come out of that spent fuel pool without a catastrophe. The odds seem to be about 90% catastrophe, 10% blind, dumb luck to get 1,300 of these rods out of there. In just a minute, hang on. Yochi, he's in Thailand, and apparently the connection is just not good enough, so hopefully we can get him back before the end of this half hour. If not, we'll certainly have him on next Monday. Okay. Spent fuel pool. If you've seen the pictures...
Hello.
There he is. Welcome back. Okay.
Okay, are we connected? Yeah, it seems someone's playing games with us, huh?
Well, it sounds like it.
Back to the ribs there, yeah. I picked up the phone four times, and four times, no lying, you know?
All right. Well, you're back at the moment here.
You know, these fellows are on steroids. They're in panic. Good sign that they're so desperate. You know, they'll do anything now. They're scared.
Yeah.
They're running scared, and this is what people are running scared to.
Well, when they run scared, they start to threaten people, but they also do worse things than that. So, I want to be clear. I don't begrudge Michael Collins if he has been threatened, and every indication points to a very severe threat. Every indication.
Something very, very odd. Okay, something odd. Yeah. Let's leave it at that. Something very odd, disturbing, and the sign of the times of all this other stuff that's been coming down relentlessly. And, you know, the Edward Snowden material has stopped coming out, basically. I mean, there's a lot worse, you know, the kind of intimidation that he didn't go through those files.
That's right.
Yeah, the flow seems to have stopped. Okay?
Sounds like they might have made a deal with him.
You know, these guys are up to really no good.
Yeah.
U.S. government, U.S. taxpayers are paying for their salaries for this kind of intimidation and harassment. The Constitution is violated. The basic laws of the land are violated. You know, this is not responsible government, democratic government. These, like I said, Lord of the Rings, are the orcs in power, the orcs, folks. Those ugly manufactured monsters are running the show. It's time to boot them out. Send them back to where
I agree. Let me
Lord of the Rings, that's what has to be done.
Yeah. Hold on, Yochi. Anyway. Let me finish this little explanation about why they can't pull these fuel rods out and then have you amplify on that. And the bottom line is simply, if you've looked at the top of the fuel tank, you'll see countless numbers, what look like steel an upside down U. It's a handle. It's a steel handle. You look like you could reach in there and grab that handle and pull up on it. Well, that's exactly how the fuel assemblies were lifted up and put down in this pool. Well, all the tons of metal that have fallen on these assemblies have broken them, crushed them. Not all of them, many of them. And obviously the earthquake broke many of the fuel rods themselves. The water level in the spent fuel pool dropped. And what happened then? Well, with no water to cool the fuel rod, which had a let's just call it a rubber coating on it to keep them from igniting should they touch each other. Well, that rubber coating, it's borinated rubber, is gone. It's gone. So these are raw spent fuel rods. And they're going to try and lift up, not by computer, but manually, 1,300 of them, one at a time. There may be four at a time in some cases, but I believe it's one at a time. One assembly, I think, has four rods, but I'm not sure. They vary. At any rate, they're going to try to pull them up with no borinated rubber. So if two of the rods, and they're very close together, so much as touch, we'll have a pyrophoric fire. Pyrophoric. Look up the word. An explosion. And what will happen then? The workers will run for their lives. There's no way to survive that. That doesn't mean the whole thing's going to blow up at once, but if they touch, it's over. That's the end of the operation. You can't go in there and reach down and pull them apart. It's done. Now, that's the good side of it. The bad side is, of course, the whole damn fuel pool falls to the ground in the next earthquake or typhoon. And that could happen, too, with, I don't know how many hundred tons those 1,300 rods amount to, but it's a lot. It's 300 or 400 tons of this stuff. Hits the ground, that's the end of the Northern Hemisphere. The end. 30,000 Hiroshima bombs worth of radiation is sitting in those fuel rods? Some enormous number. Anyway, they're going to try and do this beginning next week. Okay? One little oops, and that's the end. The workers are going to run, and that's over. The operation is done, and we're done. So I'm just telling you, watch that video. It says critical in front of it, and it says the word watch in green. Take a look at it. Take a listen. Okay, Yochi, the floor is yours. Go ahead.
So I really, you know, there was just this Richter 7 quake there in right near Fukushima epicenter just this couple days ago. And then again, the immediate report within minutes, not just hours, is that Fukushima is safe.
Oh, of course. They examined every square inch of it. Right.
Yeah, you can't even look at the tape in that amount of time. And then it turns out that there's been, you know, also serious typhoons. And the previous typhoons, the one previous to the last, there was a landslide that they didn't disclose for 7 days at one of the entry roads where trucks go in and out with nuclear waste and, you know, all sorts of equipment. You know, they're just not going to tell the truth. And I suppose they'll try to pull out a test rod in this next week, some reactor 4, a spent fuel pool. So who knows really what's going on? You know, we have to take everything with a grain of salt because these things come, and the media has become so accustomed to lies, where TEPCO lies, and then it lies again, and then a year later, it says, oh, we lied, here's the real thing, and that also was a lie, okay? We are so inundated with lies from these people, we don't know what to believe. Even on video, things can be doctored, you know, to be acted out with props and so on. Very difficult situation for us. The earthquake, as we have always been suggesting, you know, these are not aftershocks. There is, this whole area is undergoing major geological, geophysical changes, a realignment of land and land building going on. And this is historically going to continue for a long time. Just imagine if the earthquake gets when they're pulling a rod out. Just think of that. You know, what's going to happen? And there's a likelihood of that. You've got so much material in there.
Exactly.
And one, as you suggested, one of those either breaks, goes back down the cages and just sort of collapses and breaks apart. There's going to be a fire like there was on March 12th and March 14th which, you know, he was, as you said, what do you call it? Pyrophoric. Anyway, yeah, these are oddball fires, you know, because they're not really, it doesn't seem there's a lot of atmospheric oxygen. They're not like a normal fire. They're really weird, intense, strange, like plasma.
It's a spontaneously ignites in the air is what it is.
Yeah, it's spontaneously ignites in the air, but then consumes all the oxygen and keeps burning. You know?
Correct.
So this is what's so weird about this thing. It's just like an ion-driven, you know, tritium-driven flame that is weirder than any other fire we've ever seen. Of course, most of us have never seen anything like this because we don't work in nuclear power. I mean, there's been very few serious actors like that. Perhaps the nuclear science engineers have never seen anything like this, and they don't know it either. So they call it a hydrogen fire just to keep the public from, you know, panicking. Very likely to happen. We're just, you know, and this is the thing that there's about to start, the recovery next week, has been delayed since June. It's been delayed for 5 months after a year of preparation. A year of preparation has gone into this, and they still delayed for 5 months.
Right.
I suppose next week they would delay again. They'll find other reasons to delay when they come to their senses, and they sort of lose nerve. They realize they can't do it.
They can't.
You know, the situation is beyond desperate now. No one has any answers. No one's got answers. We're really at a point. We just, you know, it's hard to make a recommendation now, you know, except just shut down nuclear power worldwide as fast as possible before a second plant endures something like this. And then the world will really be cooked. And, which is why we can't be building more further south. You know, the North Pacific area, as we've seen with Michael Collins' measurements of this radioactive pool coming over to North America, cannot sustain much more, okay? But if the South Pacific also goes, it's going to be all over. I mean, you know, it's going to be over for, you know, like two-thirds of humanity. It's going to be like that. So we really have to do what we've got to do is bite the bullet, shut down nuclear. And the President of the United States is going to have to get aboard or face the fact that his daughters are going to die along with everyone else. He's not going to have grandchildren if he keeps thinking like this. And I hope the First Lady is listening to this. Someone's got to bring this fool to his senses. He is a fool. He's proven himself a fool for going along with a lie to him.
We want to mention also that it's not...
being a fool on many other issues.
Exactly. It's not just the West Coast. It's the whole country, and then ultimately it's Europe. Just remember the jet stream will take that radiation wherever it wants to. It'll take it to Missouri. It'll take it to Florida. It'll take
Peru,
it to New England.
Water is down in Peru. And, it's all over. It's the whole world. It's the Northern Hemisphere. The whole Arctic region has undergone massive changes. So we've got to understand the seriousness of that situation, the fact that climate itself is being changed. The whole geophysics as we know it is being changed far more radically and far faster than any kind of carbon dioxide or greenhouse gases could ever do. And it's out of control. There is no way. So
it is.
Graphic asset is taking preventing that. Right. That's the best thing to do.
Well, my friend, thank you for being here. Talk to you next week. We want to send our obvious...
There's a whole lot of other issues that we need to get into.
Oh, yeah.
The loans there that have been given to the Yabuza at a time when the liberal Democrats are trying to back up. This is something we'll discuss next week.
All right.
The political scandal, the economic scandal. It's a total mess that's snarled up, you know, like the word snapper, you know, just snapper.
Yep. All right. Okay, Yochi.
All right.
Good night.
Well, I just hope that our worst fears, your worst fears, do not come true. I hope that, you know, Michael Collins is back with us soon.
Indeed.
And whatever is bothering them goes away, realizes we can't sustain this. We're still coming after them. And if we're down, someone else is going to come after them. They cannot stop good sense. They just cannot stop good sense.
Indeed. Very well said. Thank you, Yochi. Take care.
All right. Very good.
Okay. And once again, I have no proof of a threat, but I have every indication it fits like a glove. If it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, you know the rest. This man would never pull the plug on his platform here, or his work, or his wife's work, unless there was something very, very strange going on. At the time when things are just about to escalate to unimaginably dangerous, well, you call it what you want. The whole thing is out of control. Let's just leave it at that. All right, that's our program tonight. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Thanks for being here. We appreciate you, and we will talk again then.